I tested, you know, a bunch of different videos on TikTok, most of which didn't really perform, until I did one video on like the different types of Persian dancing that, you know, took off. And then I was like, boom, there it is. Gonna connect back to my roots.
I'm Gabriella Tavakoli-Bailey, and I've worked in unscripted television as an executive producer and TV executive doing what I love most, storytelling. I'm an extremely curious person, and I decided to do this podcast so I can dig in and learn about fascinating people living extraordinary lives. And I called up my very talented friend, Orly Minazad, who is a writer and journalist. And together, we are going to learn about people's journeys and provide you with a fun listen and a good time. Welcome to Tell Us Something We Don't Know. By the way, I was telling some friends that were interviewing you, and they're like, have him do his accent the whole time.
Oh my God, no. No.
I know. It sounds exhausting. Like that.
Exactly.
And then, like, you have a Austin Butler situation, bro.
Oh yeah, you have to get coached to not talk like that. Yeah.
Our guest today is the very funny and debonair content creator and comedian Reza Jackson. If you follow him on TikTok or Instagram, you've been blessed with his fashion tips, hilarious videos, dance moves, recipes, and sculpted chest peeking out of his dress shirts. We're going to discuss his rise to social media stardom and what's next for him. Welcome, Reza.
Hello, Reza.
How did you like that intro?
That was
a good one. The chest one was definitely my favorite part.
I knew he'd like that one, Gabrielle.
Yes, that was Orly's line.
Everybody, you're welcome.
Exactly.
I push for that one, Reza. I push for that one.
The question is, like, shaved or not shaved? Like, you know, I've been trying to answer that for 10 years.
I think it's an in-between, but I think you walk a fine line in between, right? You don't want it too, like, clean, right? It's like you're not 12.
So the problem is my trimmer. Every time I go to, like, trim it to get that in-between look, I make a mistake and there's like a bald spot. I'm like, oh shit, okay.
You need to take tips from my husband. Her husband's white. He doesn't understand. My husband will help you out with that.
What does he do? What does CFS do?
The same, the trimmer thing.
The trimmer thing, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a professional trimmer.
We hire somebody to come. Yeah.
The problem is that serious.
Okay, wait, so real quick, you're Reza Jackson. So Jackson, that's not Persian. Talk to us about that. Where did that come from?
So this is like a secret. I don't know if I want to, I'm just joking. My real last name isn't Jackson, surprise. But I was coined this nickname. It was literally, I remember this when I was 17 and Facebook had launched and I wanted a name for Facebook. And I've always been obsessed with Michael Jackson. And I have a tattoo of Michael Jackson.
Oh my gosh, that's huge. Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
And so it was just, it stuck with it. And now I'm Reza Jackson and it confuses Persians.
But your Michael Jackson obsession was from when you were younger, right? Because you actually know how to dance like him. That's not something you learn as an adult.
No.
And you don't get a tattoo of Michael Jackson just because of your Facebook name.
So this obsession is deep.
He legit knows how to dance like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to like when I was 5 in Iran and like my rich uncle would have like the VHS tapes of like the music videos. We'd all sit around. I remember They Don't Care About Us was like one that came out around that time, like 1995. So I started dancing like him since then. And then when we moved to Canada, I started like actually taking it seriously. And at some point I was like getting flown to cities to do MJ performances, like in full outfit.
My dad
built like, have you seen the way you make me feel performance where he's behind a screen and you could only see his shadow and then it breaks. Mm-hmm. So he built something like that manually. He built like these clamps that I could put my feet in and do like the lean.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I love that your dad cultivated that in you. My dad would have been like, "Boro baba, boro madrasa."
My dad put me through like, at one point we had like French immersion classes, swimming classes, taekwondo. I was also like an artist. So I did like charcoal, watercolor, oil painting, wow. dancing, like busy ass schedule yeah. for a 12-year-old.
How many kids are you?
Just me. That's probably why.
Well, yeah, I have an only child also. And I think we're just like, well, we have all this time.
Yeah.
Like, just do your thing. Yeah.
So you, in the intro, I purposely didn't include that you're Persian because I feel it's not just appealing to the Persian population. I think you appeal to many. So I want to highlight that. But you are Persian, 100%. And you were born in Iran?
That's right, Tehran.
So do you remember living there?
So I left at 7. And I do remember like tidbits of living there for sure. But I also went back and visited every like other year until I was like 22, 23. And then I haven't gone since then. So I have a lot of memories and, you know, recent memories with Iran.
And then you went to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so where do you live now?
So I'll tell you the whole story. When I was 7, I moved to Vancouver, Canada. I was there for maybe like 15 years. Moved to Toronto for 8. And then I moved to LA just over 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're a newbie to LA. What do you think so far? Yeah, we're both in LA.
I love LA. I mean, the weather is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you came from Canada to here. The winters is alone just.
So, okay. Let's go into your origin story of how this whole thing started for you.
Yeah. So this is like dating back early when I first moved to Toronto. I always would take pictures of like my outfits on my iPhone. And then I remember meeting a content creator at the pool, at this pool of like this building. And he's like, hey man, like you should try like getting a DSLR camera. Look, I got all this like paid collabs with XYZ brands. My MacBook is sponsored, etc. And so that's what sparked that. And I got a DSLR camera. I remember when I hit 5,000 followers. And I got like this first free wooden watch. It was like a little milestone for me.
Yeah.
And so from that point, there's still no video yet. So this is all like aesthetic, like kind of like model-esque type content. The content got better. And like, I guess in a span of like, you know, 3 or so years, I got up to 25,000 followers on Instagram. There's still no TikTok. And COVID hit.
Mm.
And then when COVID hit, and I would always have videos like in my stories, but I never created like video content, which is definitely like where my passion is, right? Like where my personality shines through. Yeah. And so because of COVID, I tested, you know, a bunch of different videos on TikTok, most of which didn't really perform until I did one video on like the different types of Persian dancing that, you know, took off. And then I was like, boom, there it is. I got to start making, gotta connect back to my roots.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what started the journey. And in the past 3-4 years, you know, that's what helped me grow from that 25K to, you know, 340K on Instagram and just under 500K on TikTok.
We've interviewed a handful of content creators and kind of heard their journeys. And one thing that's common is COVID, right? And then the other thing is finding your niche. And so when you were doing other videos before it hit, were they just not targeted towards being Persian? And then you decided to focus on being Persian and that's where your audience grew?
More or less. Yeah. Like I'd say before that one dancing video, I didn't have any clear indicators as far as like what is something that's going to continually resonate. And then once I did the Persian, I did a part 2, I did a part 3, and I kept performing. So I was like, okay. And I realized like throughout the process, it was very organic because I'm just really drawing from my own actual life. I'm looking at my mom and dad and they're like, oh my God, they do this shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a video about it. So I think it was sort of like a stars aligned as far as like what's going to resonate and what's going to be authentic and what can I do continuously.
It is interesting that like, you know, I know we think like, oh, it's only the Persians that relate to this, but I get so many like people sharing, like non-Persians sharing videos of, you know, like Persian dancing or, you know, whatever, because I think it's just fun.
the difference here between like other like more traditional Persian influencers is that yes, I'm 100% blood Persian, but I grew up in Canada and in America, right? So like culturally, I'm mixed, and that's why I think it appeals to not just Persians, because I'm relaying my experience as a second generation immigrant, not just a Persian. So those themes are the same with someone whose parents moved from Russia, anywhere, right? That's another country. They're all very similar. We just have our own specific nuances.
That's true.
That's a good point. So wait, the people that you collaborate with, your mom is one of them, right?
Yeah. She's a good one. She's amazing.
Was she hesitant at first, and then you had to kind of convince her to be on board, or what was that like? Was she like, yes, bring me on?
So it's funny. My dad wasn't hesitant at all. He encourages it, but like he kind of isn't so good in front of the camera and like taking directions of like say this, or say that, or react like this. But he gives it his all. My mom, on the other hand, like is annoyed by it. She's like, ugh, Reza, I just want to relax. I don't have makeup on. I'm not looking at my parents. Why are you showing palm? And she has a whole lot of Instagram story. But when she goes on, she like nails it.
Yeah.
First round. Like she's a performer. Like she's excellent. So that's sort of the balance.
No, she seems like a natural for sure.
She's a natural. Like we are Persian, of course, feed blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Series. Like my mom would nail it on the first one. My dad would be like 10 takes. I'm like, say this word. Say this word. So. And then after the footage is done, she's like, are we down short?
Okay. I was going to say, I thought maybe after she'd be like, oh, let's do more.
I'm a star.
Yeah. So Reza, my mom, she's got like close to 30,000 followers on TikTok. Oh, and it's my Persian
mom.
She's
amazing. Yeah.
And so you have to check her out. Maybe you guys can do a collab. She is hilarious.
My Persian mom is her account name?
Mm-hmm. TikTok.
Oh, I see it. And she looks so young.
She is
mom
young.
Is super young. And she parties more than any of us part. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I love that. She's good. I love the dancing.
Right? So when you're putting together your content, like talk us through your process.
The process on all these things, even like the niche, is a changing thing for a variety of factors. And I'll explain that. So like previously, I would do 3 videos a day. So like after work, 5 to 6, I'd like scroll through TikTok, like get inspiration, get ideas. I'd bang out like 3 videos, post them, and I would sort of bank on the volume. Now I'm doing 1 a day, trying to do like ideas throughout the week, like come up with ideas, film them on the weekend, and then edit them on the weekdays when I post it. So I have 1 per day, you know, 5 to 6 days per week. They're definitely higher quality, right?
Gotcha.
So that's the process now. And then in terms of the niche, this is a very like active thing with, you know, January 1st, my thing is like to move more into the millennial bucket, which will have Persian moments. My mom will be there. I'm not hiding the fact that I'm Persian, but it's going to be less like Persian only videos, because I think one, I've capped on the number of followers. There's only so much more Persians that you can have. And two, I am a millennial, and there's so many stories to be told there. And then three, from a brand perspective of like who brands look to partner with, Persian demographic isn't really a market that they're like but millennial, boom, that's like people that are making money, they're having kids, like it's an addressable market.
What would you say is like the main way of monetizing
for me? Brand deals. And there's like, because the creator economy fund, that kind of sucks, like you barely make any money. Instagram had like a reels program, which actually was working very well, like it was a good like complement to the income. They stopped that program. But like, it depends on who the creator is. If they're YouTubers, then the income is predominantly going to come from like ad revenue, and it's so much more sustainable than like depending on brand deals. But on the flip side, so much more work. Think about like how long it takes to make a 40-second video, times that by 20 to make a 10-minute video.
Right? Yeah. 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 And so just so you know, my background, so I'm in unscripted television, been doing it forever for like TLC and for Netflix, but I'm also working with content creators like yourself that have like 5 million plus on Instagram and TikTok, but that are trying, and most of their money comes from brand deals, but they're looking to monetize into the YouTube space, like you're saying. And so kind of building that platform out for them. And I definitely, I don't think you're alone in when you're saying in, on the other side of things, it is really through brand deals is how content creators make their most of their money. And it's very lucrative, you know, for sure. But I think it is, again, like you said, in terms of like figuring out, like it's a business, like, you know, you're having fun and you're putting these videos out and people are just scrolling. But there is like a strategy behind it too, right? With not only when something goes viral, but like what, talk to us about like hashtags and, you know, figuring out like your, like a strategy behind it of when to post, how to post, what to post, like that, the specifics. Yeah.
It's funny, like it's like you think you have the answer and you think that all these specifics matter and then you get proved otherwise. And so that's, I'll go back to the theme of like nothing is a constant and everything is a change. So it's a game of like continual trial and error. I used to think that posting at 7 p.m. every single day was optimized. And then one day by accident, I posted at 12 p.m. and it blew up. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. So like, I think that there's all these like theories and like number of 6 hashtags that's like the maximum you should put to not like over give them too much information where they don't know where to show your content, but also make your hashtags more specific versus broad, because if it's going to 10 billion, then it's not going to get the traction that you need. And I think there's merit behind all those like hacks or tricks to like beating the algorithm.
Yeah.
But really at the end of the day, really the only thing that actually matters is the quality of your content and if it hits. So like if I was a creator starting out, I would just focus on that one thing, because the other things are just like distracting in my opinion. Just focus on making content that's going to crush. Now, when we look at content, there are certain rules that you can, or guidelines, like the first 3 seconds you want to engage someone, because that's usually how long it takes for them to decide to stay to watch or scroll.
Yep.
So I would use that framework. Like, am I drawing people in with these 3 seconds? Is the theme of what I'm talking about relevant? Which is why like things that have like really funky, like my Persian mom and passports, like if that's relatable to people, they're going to lean in. And if the video stays is good throughout, then they're going to continue watching.
But your content is super diverse. I mean, you have the Persian thing, you have the millennial thing, you have your fashion influencer too. So, I mean, I feel like you have so many avenues to make this work.
What I'm trying to nail is like, how do I bring comedy into like fashion, and how does it all roll back up to like being millennial? So like the intersection. So I don't know if you've seen the videos of like the Zara ones.
Yes, we were talking about that one. Yes.
So that's like a perfect example of like comedy, yet like, hey, these are pretty good poses. Like that's a pretty sick outfit. Like how can we do that? Because fashion content I think is boring. And I think people don't really care unless you're like the guy for fashion, you know? The best way to like actually blow up is like relatability and comedy, because people want to laugh, you know?
Well, I think you do a good combo of it. And I think for inspiration for your next video, you should do a video of doing returns at Zara. Because I don't know if you guys have this experience. I mean...
Wait, what do you mean?
Attitude. I mean, every time I go to Zara to like do returns, it's like, it's as if like they've sewn the clothes themselves and they're so offended you're returning it. It's just...
Why are you returning all your clothes to Zara, though?
Because nothing fits me, Gabriella. Okay, I don't have a model-esque body like you two.
Oh, shut
okay,
up.
So you guys obviously don't relate to this.
Oh, well, maybe it's because Persians like buy clothes, wear them, and then try to return them. So they have a bad
taste. I don't. If something fit me and looked good on me, I wouldn't return it. I'm very desperate. I don't do that. But yeah, our Persian moms definitely like doing that. I think like the world has changed their return policy because of us. Honestly. Yeah. I swear to God, I'm not kidding.
That's why we love Costco.
Like no rules.
There's no rules. It's like you've used it for 5 years.
He's God, crazy.
It's like recycling. I don't know.
All right, Reza, are you ready for some rapid fires?
Yes. So just so I understand, rapid fires, you're going to ask me, like, do I give you a one-word answer? Like, what?
However you want.
However you want. Casual, no rules. Like Costco, baby. Here we go. Okay. Reza, what hair products do you use for your curly hair? Asking for a friend.
Bumble curly cream.
Oh, okay. All right.
My hair is super curly. That's why I ask.
You do the keratin, right?
Me?
Don't you
no,
do keratin?
No, I do the blow dryer. No, I don't do the keratin.
Oh, your hair is naturally...
Not me?
I'm like, well, you told me about keratin like 10 years ago, I remember.
I did it 10 years ago and I didn't do
and
it
you
again.
Didn't, like, okay. Have you ever done keratin treatments, Reza?
I used to do it a lot when I would straighten my hair. So the curl, like letting my own curls is like a last 6 years kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah, I like that you're rocking it. And your beard.
But why isn't your beard curly? Is that a thing?
It is?
Oh, okay. So if you grow it longer, it's going to... Okay.
How long have you had a beard for?
10 years.
Wow. I bet you if you shave that thing off, you'll get a lot of views.
I don't know.
No. I don't mean
people want to see what he looks
people
like.
People
want
to see what you look
curious,
like. And then
yeah.
like in 2 days you grow it back because you're Persian.
Yeah, because you're Persian, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Squeeze it out.
Okay. What movie do you watch when you're depressed?
I would say Schitt's Creek.
Okay. Oh,
that's a good one.
That's a good one. Are you more of a TV versus movie person?
I like both. But like TV is like what I would watch like before going to bed versus movie would be like, okay.
Yeah. And it's comforting, especially when it's something, you know. Yeah.
If you could repeat any time in your life, when would it be?
Now.
Yeah.
The present.
Living your best life now.
Yeah.
But like taking that hat off, I think some of the memories that I'm fond of is actually like back, like early college years.
Yeah.
When you were like old enough to drink and like have fun, meet girls, flirt and whatever. But like, you didn't have the stress about like making a living and like the pressure of like being successful.
Yeah.
100%.
Like going to sleep without any money problems. Yeah. Not money problems, but you know what I mean? Like
adults. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Adulting. Yeah. Where did you go to school?
University. I went to UBC.
Okay.
In Vancouver.
Awesome. Okay. When you get a phone call from someone instead of a text, do you immediately panic? Drop the phone and run, or are you fine with phone calls?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't even get phone calls because everybody's on do not disturb mode 24/7. Yeah.
So you're a texter.
Yeah.
I'm just like I I'm already so distracted as it is. Like I'm doing multiple things at once. Like having the energy of a phone call is and like I'm in all these meetings all day. So like I don't want to get a notification that just throws me off.
Celebrity couple goals. Is there a celebrity couple out there that you're like, that's what I want?
I've recently been really fond of Victoria Beckham and David Beckham.
Me too. Yeah.
The documentary.
Seen the documentary.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds and his like their little banter that they have.
Yes.
My relationship is closer to that one where we're just trolling each other constantly.
I love that.
I relate to that one a lot more.
So sexy.
Super. So romantic.
Cruises, yay or nay?
What?
Cruises.
Yeah.
You know, like going on a ship. Because I don't know why I thought about that, because some people really love it. And I think it's the worst thing in the world. It sounds horrible to me. I mean, I've done it, so I know it's horrible. But being stranded on a ship for days.
Depends on what kind of cruise, though. Like if it's like people from Ibiza doing like a 3-day cruise around like southern, you know, Spain or whatever. Yeah. If it's a cruise going to like Alaska with family, probably not. You know?
Jump off the ship and swim.
I mean, actually, I would love it because I love spending time with family, but I'm just saying they're both different types of vacations. Yachts? Yes.
Oh, yachts. Yeah.
Different story. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Reza. And finally, tell us something we don't know.
Oh, fun fact. You might already know this. As I learned to navigate LA, there's more Armenians in LA than there are Armenians in Armenia.
Ah,
I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
Fun one in LA.
Speaking of Armenians, have you gone to Rafi's Kebab yet in Glendale?
Of course. I went there before I moved to LA.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So great good. Spot. Such a great spot. And then where can people find you, Reza?
Instagram, it's at @reza_jax. And then TikTok is at Reza Jackson. So R-E-Z-A Jackson.
Well, thank you.
Do you want LinkedIn?
Yeah, give us your link.
It's Reza Mousavi, and that's my real last name.
Ah, there we go. We got it at the end. We got it. His real last name.
That's something that you did not know. I should have
said. There we go.
There you go. I love how right all there. Of us do this throughout the entire...
The hand gestures are out of control.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Reza. That was fun.
So good meeting you.
Yes.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Tell Us Something We Don't Know. You can find us on Instagram at TUSWDK or email us at info@tellussomethingwedontknow.com. Audio and editing by Simon Greffenstedt and theme music provided by Signature Tracks.